Hello, hello, my name is Clark Heron, a.k.a. the Hairy Hobo, and welcome in to Armchair Guru's Fantasy Football Podcast right before Week 5. Week 5 starting tomorrow. We have the Broncos and the Colts. Should be interesting, especially with JT being ruled out in that game. Denver's defense is still pretty good. We'll see what Nyheim Hines and company can do tomorrow evening. But as for the Guru's Podcast, we have four games in the books, and we have a wonderful standings that's honestly very, very competitive from top to bottom. We'll get into that. We'll get into the week's matchups coming up, as well as the waivers and a couple of trades that happened this week. Before we jump into that, we've got the Pick 6 Challenge for the week, and I'll be posting it right now. It is posted in the sleeper. Again, if you want to make your picks, put them in the chat to simply put at Harry Hobo so I can see them and put them on the docket for the week. Or you can send them directly to me if you want to keep them anonymous. Those games this week are, we have the Lions against the Patriots. We have the Seahawks against the Saints. We have the Titans against the Washington football team, the Manders. We have the Eagles versus the Cardinals. We have the Bengals versus the Ravens. And then the Monday night matchup, the Raiders versus the Chiefs. Again, you have until the game start on Sunday to make your picks. And congratulations to Nick Lee and myself this past week. Congratulations. We are the first two of the year, I believe. I don't think we had anybody else get all six correct, but we did this week. We got all six correct. And also a nice little shout out to I Slept With Your Sister. He got five right this week, so congratulations to each one of those. Our standings as of this moment, we have Nick Lee with 20 correct. I'm sitting in second with 16. We have Spelequin at 15, and then we have a slew of Martez, Cubby, Fletch, and Tom all at 14. Defil at 13. We have Kurt at 12. We have Joaquin at 11. So we're all fairly close for the most part, but Nick Lee has been killing it these past 2 weeks, and congratulations once again to getting six correct. Again, make sure your picks are posted with at Harry Hobo so we can actually put them on the docket if you can get them right this week. As for waivers this week, kind of a little quiet this week, but the more interesting part of these waivers was, I never thought I would have to say this, but we had half the league try and go get Jared Goff. Yes, we had half the league try and go get Jared Goff, and Martez was the one, Marty McFly, putting a big old 50 spot on Jared Goff. So congratulations to him getting Mr. Jared Goff. Really, the pickup of the week was George Pickens. Only two of us tried, but Tom, the resident Steelers fan, made sure that he was on his team. So congratulations on that pickup. Nick Lee picked up Mr. Nyheim Hines since JT is out for tomorrow. So very good pickup. Overall, not too crazy. I will say the underwhelming pickups of the week was Joaquin getting Teddy B, which in an article I just read, it looked like there was an advisor that was kind of telling Tua not to play football again based on the head injuries. Hopefully that is not the case, but always look after your health before anything else. So picking up Teddy, maybe it's a good thing, maybe not. We'll see. And then Tom picking up Kenny Pickett over Marcus Mariota. Maybe that pans out now that he is the starter in Steelers. Congratulations on to Fletch getting Mike Boone, probably the backup there in Denver now that Javonte is gone for the season. And then the underrated pickup of the week, I'll say this one goes to I Slept With Your Sister. Congratulations on picking up a nice little pickup for the Bengals defense. Now, granted, this week at Baltimore is not ideal, but then the next 4 weeks are all so good for that defense. They have the Saints, they have the Falcons. Cleveland's going to be a little interesting. It's in Cleveland, and then Carolina before the bye week in week 10. So a very nice pickup now. May pan out, may not pan out this week for Baltimore. I will give a special shout out to Rex Burkhead. I know you were on a team for a hot minute, and then Cubby Doo very quickly thereafter dropped you. Don't worry. Somebody will pick you up, and you will be on somebody's team. But for now, you will have to be in the waiver pool. But that is waivers of the week. But when it came to trades, we had a couple big trades this past, just yesterday, I believe. I knew I was part of one of them. Let me see, make sure. Yes, October 4th, we had myself, the Hairy Hobos, trading with D-Felt, which is, I believe, Revamped and Ready, has changed his name once again from Life Support now to Revamped and Ready. That trade was pretty simple. He sent over Kareem Hunt. I sent over Brian Robinson and the Bills defense. Overall, very clean trade. I like it quite a bit. I didn't overly love giving up Robinson, who could potentially be the starter. Things are kind of shifting that direction, but I didn't mind giving up the Bills defense. Already had the Niners defense, can't play two, rather just have one on my roster. And then getting Kareem Hunt back for me, it's huge because I just lost Javonte Williams to a torn ACL and LCL, very similar to what Dobbins had last year. So hopefully he can get healthy before next season, but I needed a running back that played at a floor of about 8-plus points, which is exactly what Kareem Hunt does, with the upside of touchdowns and just touches overall. Kareem Hunt gives me just that. And then Revamped and Ready, Mr. DeFelt decided he was not done as of that moment, so he decided he wanted to get another trade done, this one with Joaquin, and pay attention. Their first trade was Michael Carter for Rashard Bateman, which definitely, I would like to say that the Bateman side got the better of this trade. I think it did, because I think Michael Carter is going to be relegated to being the backup there for the Jets. Bateman, on the other hand, he is a big play. He's a big play type of player. He's not going to get the volume that you're looking for, kind of the reason why I traded him away to begin with. But all he needs is one big play, and if he gets the big play, you're going to be very, very happy with him. So congratulations on DeFelt getting him. But then also kind of the same trade, but they kind of had to do it differently. They had David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert going to DeFelt, and in return giving away James Conner and Trevor Lawrence. And I just had a conversation with someone else outside the league about James Conner, and they were asking why James Conner, we didn't feel like he was going to be great this season. He can still be great. There's no doubt about that. He's got the talent. But what made him great last year was the fact that he got into the end zone double-digit times. That's exactly what gave him the huge fantasy value, and I think he finished sixth at the position last season. Without the touchdowns, if you don't get the touchdown volume, which is extremely difficult, if not impossible to predict, he's going to be mildly okay at best. It's not a tremendously running a great running offense, and when you get to the goal line, it's either going to be passing it to one of the good receivers of Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins once he comes back, or Kyler just runs it in with his legs. So the issue of Connor getting the goal line touches not always going to be there, but I do like the Trevor Lawrence getting added there for Joaquin. It may work out for him. He's got the got three quarterbacks as of now. And then, obviously, for DeFelt, getting David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert, the entire Bears backfield, someone's going to pan out for him. It looks like Khalil Herbert might have to play this week. So we'll keep an eye on that. But overall, those were the trades this week. Again, a couple of nice trades overall. Nothing massive this week, I guess you could say. That being said, I think we got the pick six done. We also want to congratulate, I believe, Spelequin. Spelequin, congratulations this week. You were the best receiver duo, and clearly that was the case because guess what? You had the two best receivers when it came to fantasy last week, and Justin Jefferson and Mike Evans. So congratulations on getting the win there. There is no weekly challenge this week. Next week will be best running back duo, so keep that in mind. Also, keep in mind, next week, I still have my surgery on the 11th. Typically, we would run the podcast on Wednesday. I will likely be asleep. I'm hoping to be asleep at this time next week. If that's the case, go ahead and obviously you can run it without me. Just simply jump into the Discord and have a conversation. You don't really need to run it. If you really want to actually record it, it's up to Fletch at that point, depending on when he wants to run it. You could run it Thursday. You can run it Friday. or even Wednesday, he's got the ability to just go straight to Anchor and record it via that way. It's not that big of a deal. I'll leave it up to you guys. I will still make sure that the Pick 6 games are posted. I'll post that on Monday. And then we will keep and we'll just have to play it by ear for the following week, depending on how I feel. Again, you may have to run it for a couple weeks, and that's absolutely fine. Definitely run it. Have some fun with it. We will keep in touch from that point. Hopefully everything goes well with me, but I will definitely be sleeping for the most part, definitely next Wednesday for sure. That being said, let's go ahead and jump into the standings this week, if I can speak this evening, for the Armchair Gurus Fantasy Football League. And number one, still undefeated. We went into last week with three teams that were undefeated. It was myself, Nickley, and Kurt were the only undefeated teams left. And of the three teams that were undefeated, only one remains, and that is the Woodstock Hairy Hobos. Absolutely. 4-0. Congratulations to myself, the second highest scoring team in the league this year. Sitting up top. Next up, we have 4-3-1 teams. We have Nickley at 3-1. Congratulations, Too Many Eagles. Pay attention. Kurt with Tree Stars. And then we have Joe Buck Yourself at 3-1 as well. We have a couple of 2-2 teams. Cubby Doo and I Slept With Your Sister sitting at 2-2. The 1-3 teams, we have four of them. We have Fletch with Winter's Coming, Shaken Blake. We have Dr. Melfi Can't Save You, came very, very close of getting that second win last week. It just needed Cooper Kupp to fall in the end zone. And then Revamped and Ready to Roll, also sitting at 1-3. And then our last remaining winless team, the Legend of Mr. Rager, still winless as of this point, and the lowest scoring team of the league, which makes sense. That's why you're 0-4. Matchups this week. Oh, we got some doozies. We got some big ones. And typically we would start off with the highest projected total, but I want to hold off on that one because we've got a couple of teams that are projected very close to each other and the two highest projected teams going against one another. So we'll hold off on that matchup at the very end. For now, let's go ahead and start with our winless team, the Legend of Mr. Rager, taking on the 1-3 team, Shake and Bake. Mr. Rager is projected at 108 versus Shake and Bake, projected at 114. The pickup of Jared Goff at New England. We'll see what happens, because when you look at Jared Goff's play so far this season, it's been two really good games, scoring 26 and 33 respectively, and then the other games, not so much, 14 and 13 respectively. Basically, if you throw four touchdowns, you're going to be fine, and that's really what you need from Jared Goff, is you have to throw touchdowns, because he has no running ability. He's not going to run for any first down or very few first downs. He's just not going to do it. But on the season, he is the number 5 overall quarterback. Congratulations. He actually now has the number 1 starting running back in Melvin Gordon in Detroit. Or not Detroit, but in Denver. So I like that part. Now, Najee Harris in Buffalo could be a hard sledding game. A tough sledding game for Najee Harris, because Buffalo actually has pretty good defense. And the Steelers offense just isn't very good. He has Marquise Hollywood Brown going against Philly. That should be a tough matchup for him, but he's got Chris Godwin, who got 10 targets last week going against Atlanta. As long as Atlanta doesn't run it for 16,000 times, he should get another 10 as well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire on Monday night. A very nice matchup against the Raiders. If he just continues to fall in the end zone, right now I think he is the number 4 running back on the season. He has 22.4 games on the docket. He looks really, really good. Actually got 19 carries this past week, which is something we haven't seen from him up until this past week. I really do like Mr. Rager's team. There's a couple of other players he could look at. Bobby Trees is another option. Tyler Lockett. Jerry Jeudy on Thursday night. So he's got a couple different options. As for Shaken Blake, Russell Wilson finally showed up to the fantasy party, finally scoring 27 points. That's exactly what you were looking for. He's got King Henry going against the Manders. I like that matchup. And then he's got a slew of receivers. Higgins against Baltimore. You love that, because Baltimore's given up every single passing and receiving yardage there is. Cooper is kind of... I love the matchup against the Chargers. The problem is he kind of went back a little bit. He had at least 23-point games, but then he went back to only four targets last week. One catch on four targets. That's just not going to get it done. Hopefully things change around, turn around this week. He also has Corey Davis that he picked up. He's got a few other options. DeAndre Swift, if he's healthy, probably should play. And then beyond that, it's just an extra quarterback, an extra defense. In this matchup, this one's tough. I really like the balance that Mr. Rager has. This could be the first game that actually he wins. And if we look back at the rankings, back at the standings, Shaken Blake's having a rough go of it. He's scoring points, which is great. The problem is he has the most points scored against him this season by quite a margin. Almost 600 points scored against him. So the luck is not on his side. And unfortunately, I think it continues. I think this is where Mr. Rager gets his first win of the season. It may not come from the quarterback position, but I like his other options and the matchups that they have. I like Mr. Rager getting the first win of the year. Moving on, pay attention. Projected at 97 versus Dr. Melfi Can't Save You. Projected at 121. Now, granted, pay attention does not have a defense and or a running back slated. Still needs to put those in there. He's got some options, not overly great options, but he'll play the Cowboys defense. Or is that flex? Running back and defense. Yeah, he'll play the Cowboys. He'll get an extra 5 points there, so he'll be at 102 projected. And then we'll likely have to play either Tyler Allgeier against Tampa, which I don't love that matchup, or Michael Carter against Miami. And the problem with Michael Carter is he's not really getting a whole lot of targets. And he went down this week, last 2 weeks, playing less than 50% of the snaps. Not exactly what you want to see, especially if Breece Hall really turning it on. Of late, he may have to pivot, and I'm not sure exactly where he pivots to because he needs a running back. There's not really any option. I love the receivers that Joaquin has. He's got Davante Adams, C.D. Lamb doing work, along with Jalen Waddle. Garrett Everett has been a phenomenal tight end add. He picked him up early. He's the number 6 on the season. He's only had one down game, which was 2 weeks ago. And then Trevor Lawrence bringing him in, which last week was terrible. But to be fair, that was against Philly. And Philly is a very, 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 very good defense. As long as you get an 18-plus out of Trevor Lawrence, which against Houston this week should be able to fairly easily. I like that matchup. But the problem is going to be, what does he do with the running back position? And will it be that big of an issue for him? He's going against Dr. Melfi Can't Save You. Projected at 121, one of the higher ones this week. Eckler returning to fantasy dominance. He is the number 3 in PPR scoring. He scored 33 points last week. He's just getting the targets. And he had 3 touchdowns all last week. Did really, really well. Cleveland's not the best matchup, but it's Eckler. You play him, you're fine. Pierce had a monster game last week. You play him, you're fine. It's Cooper Kupp. You play him, you're fine. The problem's going to be Kyle Pitts, he's dealing with a hamstring injury. Will he be able to play this week? And if he does, do you really trust that you can get any points out of him? Garrett Wilson, again, kind of a up and down with Zach Wilson last week. Only got 6 targets, caught 2 of them, but had 41 yards. So you love the yardage per catch. On his bench, you have Mostert that you could play. Or you can play Pickens in all seriousness. You might be able to, may have to go that route because I know Allen Robinson is projected at 11, but that's a farce. I mean, he's gotten the most targets this past week of 6, only caught 2 of them for 7 yards, played 99% of the snaps, so he's on the field. But the problem that we kind of ran into this offseason when you draft Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson on your team, you got to remember, Cooper Kupp is the one. He is the guy that is always open. I'm never going to blame any quarterback to where if your number one guy is always open, and it seems to be he is always open, you're going to throw it to him. Now, Jameis Winston got an easier matchup, assuming he plays in Seattle this week. He missed practice on Wednesday, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but when you're coming off of a game that you didn't play in last week, you would like to see at least a limited effort. But if not, Andy Dalton will be right back out there, and he's got Kenny Pickett against Buffalo if he has to. Don't love that matchup, and I'm sure he doesn't either. For now, I'm going to side with Dr. Melfi can't save you. He's just got too much talent. With Cooper Kupp is super solid. If Eckler continues, he's super solid. You just need some points out of your other two receivers along with your quarterback. If you can get that, he should get the win this week. Next matchup. Joe Buck yourself going against I Slept With Your Sister. Joe Buck yourself is at 125 projected versus I Slept With Your Sister. He is projected at 111. Kyler Murray finally looking a little bit better this week. Finally got back up to 12 or 21 points. Going against Philly, you hate the matchup. You just hate the matchup. And this is one of those things that maybe the running ability will get you by. And last week, he had 12 carries for 26 yards and a score. He doesn't run as much. He is not as much of a runner compared to a Lamar Jackson. He is the 6th overall quarterback at this point, which is very, very nice. He needs the touchdowns. He needs to pass for them. He needs to run for one as well. And he'll be fine. If you're getting 20-plus out of him, very, very happy to do that. Dalvin Cook, still not really getting going. He's struggled mightily. Right now, 25th overall in PPR. He did get back up to 20 carries, which is nice. Just very inefficient. 3.8 yards on the ground last week. But that was against the Saints in London. Coming back against Chicago, you got to love the matchup. Hopefully, he can bounce back. Damian Harris. Oh, my goodness. The matchup is so juicy. But will it be his week to have a monster carry total? Or will it be Ramondre Stevenson? You got to love the matchup. It just depends on who's going to have the overall carries against a monster matchup. Obviously, last week won our weekly challenge for the best wide receiver duo of Justin Jefferson and Mike Evans. Both of them have great matchups. Expect both of them to eat once again. Jamal Williams may not be the greatest play at flex, but he doesn't really have too many other options. Maybe you play Tony Pollard in the hope that he play or, you know, falls in the end zone. Actually, better yet, I would just play Brandon Cooks. Last week, 7 for 57 and a score. I had another monster game. I would play him in the flex over Jamal Williams all day, every day. And then beyond that, I'm not... Unless David Njoku can't go, let me see what his overall resting a knee. It's a rest day. It's Wednesday. He'll be fine. I fully expect him to play this week, and you have to play him. You have to. He's too good at this point, and I think he's the number 11 overall tight end. He's getting the targets. He's getting the work in the offense that you're wanting to see. You have to play him over Freiermuth, in my opinion, but with those receivers, as long as the quarterback can get you that baseline, I really, really like his team this week. As for I Slept With Your Sister, Saquon and Aaron Jones, again, two monster. Now, Aaron Jones is going to have those type of weeks where he kind of goes down a little bit. The Giants aren't the greatest matchup, but Saquon should eat quite a bit as well, even against Green Bay. Deebo Samuel showed us why he's good. And this might be one of the better matchups for receivers in our league, because on one side, you have Justin Jefferson and Mike Evans. The other side, you have Deebo Samuel and Cortland Sutton, who has been balling out this year. He is the number 11 overall. He's super consistent. He hasn't given you a week winning week, but who cares? Give me 16 plus 3 out of the 4 weeks. I am thrilled with that. And that's why you have a Deebo Samuel. You have the type of player that can go out there and give you a week winning week. And could happen again this week against Carolina. Darren Waller needs to kick it into gear a little bit. I mean, the problem is he's not getting the target, and this was kind of why I didn't really want to trade for him early on this season, even though if I would have done that, I still would have won. Looked really, really good for a second week, but he's only getting 5 targets a game, and that's not ideal. That's not good, especially for the draft capital that you had to use to go get him. I like the running back slot with Jeff Wilson. He doesn't really have too many other options. He's kind of hoping Amon-Ra St. Brown can play this week. That's what he's really hoping for. And then, of course, he'll play the Bengals defense. The problem's always going to be Derek Carr. That's the problem. For me, that's the problem with this team. He's gotten you the baseline of at least 18-plus twice of 4 games. The other 2 times has really killed you. 11 11 points isn't going to get it done against Kansas City. Kansas City's going to put a lot of points on the board. They're going to have to match, and I don't know if the Raiders can get it done. This one's tough because I really like both of these teams. I don't love the matchup that Kyler Murray has, and I just don't like the quarterback play over here. So that might be a wash overall, where Derek Carr gets you 14 points, Kyler Murray gets you about 15, and it's basically a wash. So it might come down to, what do the running backs do? What do the receivers do? Man, this one's tough. If Amon-Ra St. Brown was playing, I would side with I Slept With Your Sister. If he's not playing, I'm going to go ahead and side with Spelequin's Joe Buck yourself. I expect him to get to 4-1 on the season. Next matchup, revamped and ready. Another team name change for Defelt. He's projected at 114 this week, going against Kurt Money and the Tree Stars, projected at 126. I think the second highest projected total this week, second or third highest. When it comes to Defelt's team, you got to get going, Cincinnati. You really have to get it going. You love the fact that Joe Mixon got back up to 24 carries, was super inefficient with them, only 2.5 yards per carry, but got in the end zone along with 4 catches on 4 targets. 17 fantasy points, second most this season, and going against Baltimore, who has the worst defense in the NFL, which is weird to say because typically they're very, very good on defense year in and year out. He also has Joe Burrow, who threw for two more touchdowns last week and looked much more efficient. Should have a monster game this week. I love the matchup against Baltimore. Khalil Herbert at this point, probably the one you have to play. I don't think he has too many other options when it comes to running back, unless David Montgomery plays. Receivers, he's got to find some kind of connection here. The problem is Keenan Allen's been hurt, but should be back this week. You have DJ Moore, who's been just dreadful this year. You may play, that one's tough. He's got a lot of questionable guys. And then London, you just need targets. And when the team runs it 16,000 times, he's not going to get the targets. I think he can get back on track. They're going to have to throw against Tampa Bay. And then Tyler Higbee, putting on a show on Monday night. 10 catches on 14 targets for 73 yards. I will take that all day long. And the chance to get in the end zone just once? Give it to me. Made that trade to get Buffalo's defense, which is going to be interesting because he's got Buffalo's defense and then also playing or could potentially play Deontay Johnson. Probably won't make that decision again. That kind of burned him last week. His team going up against Kurt Money. When you see Josh Allen, you know he's going to put up points. He is number 2 overall quarterback this season for fantasy. He has been absolute stud muffin this week. He's been phenomenal. I really wish I could have drafted him. Unfortunately, he was a keeper this year. Nick Chubb's going to get his against a Chargers defense that is just banged up crazy. If Alvin Kamara is healthy, going against Seattle that just got torched, I love that matchup. So really love the two running backs that he has this week. Pittman against Denver could be interesting. Matty Ice did not look good, nor did the Colts look good. Gabe Davis was hurt last week, should be able to play this week. DK Metcalf I like quite a bit. Zach Ertz, haven't really seen a ton of him, haven't heard a lot, but he is the number 4 fantasy tight end on the season. He is monster. I need to get a drink there. He's been very, very good. He's the type of tight end that you believe in. He's going to play. He looks very, very good. Again, we kind of projected that in the offseason, knowing that Hopkins was going to be out 6 games. So I like that matchup there. And he's not even playing the likes of James Robinson, which I would play. I really like James Robinson quite a bit. I know he really struggled last week. It was against Philadelphia. I mean, that's fine. You're going to have a bad game against Philadelphia. It happens. But beyond that, he's been a fantasy superstar. I would be playing him this week, probably over the likes of like Gabe Davis at this point. You have to play him. And then I like the matchup there. This one's simple. I like Kurt. I mean, Defel, I would love for your team to get a win because that keeps Kurt's team a little bit further away from me. But it's Josh Allen's show is really, really good. Maybe Joe Burrow makes up for it, but Josh Allen is really, really good. The running backs he just has plus matchups all the way down the board, especially if he plays James Robinson this week. Look for him to get the win this week. Second to last matchup of the week, Team Kabadoo, sitting at 2-2, projected at 132. Actually, my mistake. He is the highest projected total this week. Did not see that, so congrats on the projection. He's facing Winters coming at 1-3, projected at 116. When you have the combination of Mahomes and Kelce, and it's on Monday night, and it's at home against the Raiders, you love that matchup. Josh Jacobs looked phenomenal last week. He will come back down to earth this week. Zeke Elliott, I think he can run a little bit on those Rams. The Rams are not as great defensively. Should be able to fall in the end zone this week. Tyreek Hill, monster matchup against the Jets. Adam Thielen looking very strong. I like Adam Thielen quite a bit. He's getting the snap percentages, always has, and getting the targets again. He's done very, very well these past couple weeks. Love that quite a bit. Obviously, Kelce, he's going to play Dobbins. We'll see. I mean, Dobbins looked good last week. He fell in the end zone. 13 carries for 41 yards and a score. Also caught a touchdown, small yardage touchdown. Looked very, very good. Beyond that, he doesn't really have any other options, so I'm fine with the team that he has. As for Winters coming, he finally got CMC to get it going and wasn't on the ground. It was 25 points, 8 for 27 on the ground, but it was the 9 catches on 9 targets for 81 yards and a score. That's the CMC we want to see. That's it. That's the guy. Right there. We found him. Right there. Now, if you can get a few more carries, get him 10 to 15 carries a game, get him those targets up, he'll be right back up to being number one once again. Obviously, Justin Herbert has to get it going with the passing game, along with Big Mike in Cleveland this week. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He threw for 340 and 2 at Houston last week. I think he'll be fine in Cleveland this week. Ramondre Stevenson, if he gets the carries, a bulk of the carries against this dreadful Detroit team, he should be phenomenal this week. Curtis Samuel banged up last week. Or not really banged up, but just had an illness. Did not really play all that much. Still got 7 targets. I mean, he's been very, very good for fantasy, just not last week. TJ Hockenson had a monster week. 8 catches on 12 targets for 179 yards and 2 scores. He'll be fine. I don't think he's going to have that kind of big day. They're going to shut him down, especially if Amon Ross St. Brown is not playing. They're going to shut down Hockenson this week and keep him from beating their team. Going back to the Mooney pool, I see. Obviously, after last week, 4 for 94. That's good. You need more targets in that offense. The offense has to be able to throw the ball much more consistently. Beyond that, yeah, a lot of I'm not sure. I like the play of Denver's defense this week. As for the overall matchup, Team Kabadoo. I mean, he looks like he is strong this week. That Mahomes, Kelce, along with Hill. Love the matchup with Team Kabadoo getting the win. And now we come down to the final matchup of the week. We have ourselves the best matchup of the week. We have a 4-0 Woodstock Harry Hobos, projected at 130.19, going against Too Many Eagles, sitting at 3-1, projected at 130.03. It is a true coin toss at this point based on projections. And also, this is the game featuring the two highest scoring teams in the league, Too Many Eagles leading the way with the Harry Hobos not too far behind. As for the Harry Hobos, you got to love Lamar Jackson. Had a down week last week against Buffalo. It was rainy, nasty. Against Cincinnati, should be back up there. He still had 11 carries for 73 yards, which saved his fantasy day, but 13 points ain't going to get it done. He'll be back and be fine. Fournette, in a game where they only ran the ball 6 times last week. It was really catch-up mode. Still caught all 7 targets for 57 yards and a score. The downside with Fournette is that Tampa Bay is now doing every other drives or pretty much something like that, where Fournette gets one drive all to himself, no one else comes in, and then Rashard White comes in and takes another drive all to himself. So kind of caps the ceiling a little bit, but I still love Fournette, especially if they can get things going against Atlanta, which easy peasy. Kareem Hunt, newly acquired Kareem Hunt. What you love about it is he's getting 10 plus carries a game and about 3 to 4 targets a game. He just got to fall in the end zone. Obviously, week one when he had 2 touchdowns, got him 23 fantasy points. He's on the verge of getting double digits. As long as he can stay in that area, plus with the upside of getting a touchdown, you got to love him as an R running back too. Stephon Diggs along with A.J. Brown. Terry McLaurin this week. I love the matchup against Tennessee. A lot easier this week. Hopefully that does pan out. If not, I still have the chance of Lazard or Dobbs, depending on which one I want to play there. Or Zay Jones. Again, not sure if he will play or not. He was injured last week. He's the number 2 receiver there in Jacksonville and has been putting up quite a bit of good points. Tyler Conklin, he's been absolutely phenomenal. Love to see the targets go up just a little bit more. 6-plus every single week would be great, but he's been doing absolutely phenomenal. And then my league-leading points last week for defenses, San Francisco going at Carolina. Get Baker Mayfield, statistically the worst quarterback in the NFL. Sign me up. Thank you. I really, really like my team this week. But going against too many Eagles, and the Eagles, speaking of, have a phenomenal matchup against Arizona, one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So expect monster days for Jalen Hurts. He should get right back up there to scoring basically 25-plus. If I had to guess, he's going to be very, very good this week. Depending on what the game script says, Miles Sanders may get another 27 carries. He's been very, very good, at least monster game last week. I would like to see him go back down to maybe like a Minnesota-type game where he had 17 carries for 80 yards, but no score. I don't know if that's going to be the case against a very bad Arizona. He picked up Nyheim Hines on the waivers, playing him against Denver tomorrow night. So that will set the tone moving forward. He's projected at 14. I don't know if he's going to get... He's going to get work. I just don't know if it's going to pan out at Denver, but you got to give him a try. Ja'Marr Chase against Baltimore, enough said. I think last year, if you look at his stats, just last year against Baltimore, first game, 36 points. He had 8 for 201 and a score. And then in week 16, he had 7 for 125. So he's going to eat. He's going to have a big game. Maybe it cancels out Diggs. Should be interesting. Christian Kirk just continuing to have a very good day. He only had 2 catches last week, but for 60 yards, he still did pretty well for only 2 catches. Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in the league, one of the top 2. Chris Olave had a touchdown in London last week. If I were him, I'd be playing a different... I mean, he's got 2 very good defenses to play. I think I would still play Philly, just how good they are, but I can understand playing the Packers against the Giants. I think the Packers are the number... They've 3 straight double-digit weeks for them. I love both of these teams. I really do. I love the fact that Hurts probably has an easier route to getting points this week, especially against Arizona. The question is going to be, depending on the game script, will he get enough points along with Miles Sanders? Because Miles Sanders only gets 11 points. Putting the pressure on Nyheim Hines to produce, but his receivers are very, very, very good. His defense, or is not, well, his defense is solid, but his tight end is extremely good. Should have an easy win there. This one's difficult. This one really is. I'm going to go with my team just because I feel strong that I can get the win. I will not say GG this week unless I'm down like 40 some points. And if I'm going into like Sunday, Nyheim Hines puts him, 30 point lead. Might be under consideration, but I really, really love this matchup. This one should be one of the better matchups this year, not just this week, this year. 2 monster teams that have the 2 highest scoring teams in the league going against one another. Hopefully I can stay 4-0 and get to 5-0 and stay undefeated this year would be phenomenal, but With the luck that Nick Lee has had this year, he is, I think, the lowest points scored against him. Second lowest. The lowest is Diefeldt, only having 403 points scored against him. And then Nick Lee's close behind at 411. Well, that is the matchups for this week. I expect a lot of really good games this week. Hopefully, Martez can get his first win of the season and start getting a little bit more separation, because right now we've got four teams that are 3-1, four teams that are 1-3 with two in the middle at 2-2, and then obviously the opposites of Martez winless, I'm undefeated. Should be a very interesting week. Again, some of these teams, if they get down to 1-4, if they happen to fall to 2-3, maybe they'll be a little bit more interested in making some moves, making some more trades. Always open to more trades, and I'm sure many of the managers are in here as well, trying to position themselves. We're slowly getting a little bit further into the season, and right now, projected-wise, the six teams projected to make the playoffs, at least according to Fantasy Pros, as of this very moment, we have the Woodstock Hairy Hobos, the Tree Stars, Too Many Eagles, the top three. We have Joe Buck Yourself, I Slept With Your Sister, and then Cubby Doo finishing off the top six right now. But I think there's a very small percentage points between him and Pay Attention that is sitting at 3-1. The only 3-1 team projected to miss the playoffs this year, but it's only by 2 percentage points. And then you have good old legend Mr. Rager all the way down at 6% chance of making the playoffs. And then as for week five, we have the power rankings for this week. And again, that's why Nickley and my matchup is the best this week, because he's projected at 100 score. I'm at 99 along with Tree Stars. So again, hopefully everyone plays their best lineups. We have some really good matchups on the way. That is going to do it for this week's podcast. My name is Clark Heron, a.k.a. The Hairy Hobo, and I'm out of here.